Hi, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Yevamos daf Kuf Yud Beis. We left off, we have a lot of ground to make up. We left off Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis at the Mishnah, exactly halfway down the Amud. But hopefully today we'll make up some ground. We are blessed with a pretty short Amud Aleph today. So today we're going to cover primarily, let's call it three topics. We're going to have the Mishnah, which is going to talk about what happens if a Yavam or the Yavama is a Katan or a Katana, what exactly they should do. The primary topic of the Mishnah is going to be what happens if there is a Yibam situation, and sometime after the Yibam situation, the Yavam tries to divorce the Yavama with a get, the assumption being that he actually fulfilled the Yibam, that he actually had Bia with her, and therefore that he's able to divorce her with a get because she's like his regular wife. But she claims that they never had Bia. So she claims that the Yibam was never consummated, and therefore she demands a Chalitza. The Mishnah then is going to talk about what happens if she took a Neder not to have Hana from the Yavam, what impact that Neder has. That's going to segue into a discussion of three different categories of women who, even though we basically force the marriage to terminate, she does get to collect her ksuba. That's going to take us until Amud Beis and the end of this 13th perek of Maseches Yevamos. And then the 14th perek is going to begin. There's a whopper of a Mishnah on Amud Beis. It would be complicated except for the fact that we actually have seen most of these cases already. It's about the various permutations of you have a healthy person or two healthy brothers who are married to two women, and one of them is a Ketana, one of them is a Chareshes. They're either sisters or they're not sisters. One of them dies. What does each one do in order to fulfill the potential for the mitzvah of Yibam or Chalitza? So that's what the entire, pretty much, Amud Beis is going to cover. Hopefully we'll make it all the way through the Mishnah and set ourselves up for a discussion in the ensuing Gemara that follows tomorrow, God willing. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. We thank him very much for the sponsorship. Any other sponsorships which I'm omitting, I'm not doing so consciously. Avi Khan sends them to the rabbi, who will presumably announce them, or maybe he announced them yesterday for today's shiur, or maybe tonight for tomorrow's shiur. Not really sure, but I just thank Dr. Landerer as always. Says the Mishnah, without further ado, Yavam Katan Shabal Yavam Katana. You have a Yavam who's a Katan, who is performing Yibam with the Yavama who's a Katana. Says the Mishnah, Yigadlu Zeim Zeh. They have to grow up with one another. What does that mean? Says Rashi, that once they perform the Yibam, if he wants to later divorce the Yavama, he's not able to do so until he becomes a Gadol, because a Katan is incapable of giving a get. Bal Yavama Gadola Tegadlanu. If the Yavam is a Katan who has Yibam with the Yavama who's a Gadola, then Tegadlanu, basically she needs to raise him, she's stuck with him until he becomes an adult, and once he becomes an adult, if the marriage needs to terminate, then he can divorce his wife. Says the Gemara, says the mission now as follows. Yavama Shamra Batok Shloshim Yom. Let's say within 30 days after the time that the Yibam is supposedly performed, the Yavama says, now we're going to see in the Gemara that the Yavam is at this point trying to divorce the Yavama with a get, the implication being that he had already performed the mitzvah of Yibam, he had already had Bia with her, and therefore she's his wife for all purposes, and therefore the only way to terminate that marriage is through a get. However, the catch is, the woman says, lo nevalti. The woman says, he never fulfilled the mitzvah of Yibam, he never consummated the Yibam. So what happens? Says the Mishnah, kofenosa shiachlotzla. We force him to perform chalitza because we believe the woman that the Yibam was never performed. La'achar shloshim yom, however, if it's after 30 days following the alleged performance of the mitzvah of Yibam, then mevakshanim ena shiachlotzla. Then we don't force him to do the chalitza. We only request, we say, pretty please, could you do the chalitza? Because after a 30-day period, we don't assume that the guy was able to control himself for that long. So we assume that he actually had Bia. And if he actually had Bia, then the way to terminate this relationship is through a get, not through the chalitza. But because the woman comes with a taina that they never had Bia, we're going to request that he perform chalitza. Uvizmachu moda, however, if he's moda, even if it's after 30 days, if he's moda, you're right, I never consummated the Yibam because I never had Bia with her, then afila lachar, shneimasar chodesh, kofanosa yet shleach lasla. Then as long as it takes, even if already 12 months have elapsed, we still force him to do the chalitza. Anoderes ana miyavama b'chaye bala. Let's say, while her husband was alive, before the husband died and putting her in the Yibam situation, the woman took a neder, denying herself the ability to have all sorts of hana from her Yavam. So says Rashi, she obviously didn't intend to pater herself from Yibum after the death of the husband, because nobody thinks like that. Rather, she stam got angry at the guy, says Rashi. So she was no derana from him, says the Mishnah, rather, kofenosa sheyachlosla. We're going to force him to do chalitza with her, because even though she was no der all sorts of hana, she never meant to include the mitzvah of Yibum in the type of hana that she was no der from. I, the Rishonim, ask if she was never intending to be including the mitzvah of Yibum in the various types of Anah that she's no there from, why do we say that he has to perform the mitzvah of Chalitza? Let him perform the mitzvah of Yibum if she never intended to include Yibum in that neder. So the Rishonim answer, well, because true, she never intended to include the mitzvah of Yibum in that neder, but she did intend to include all other sorts of Hana in the neder, and therefore, if she's not able to have any hana from him, period, then obviously it's not going to be a functional marriage. So true, the actual act of Yibam would not have been included in the neder, but this is not the way married people behave, where they can't be nene from one another, and therefore, we're going to force him to do chalitza. In other words, we're not going to penalize her for taking the neder. However, la'achar misas bala, if she makes this neder after her husband is already dead, meaning she's already in a yibum situation, now she's no derana from the yavam, then mavakshinim en sheyachlasla. Then we're not going to force him to do chalitza. We're only going to request that he do chalitza. Why? Because she had no business taking such a neder, because the husband was already dead. She was already in a yibum situation. It was negligent of her to take the neder. Says the Mishnah, v'im neskavna lakach, if she actually taka intended to aser even the Yibum or Chalitza on her, then afilu b'chayivalo mevakshinim en sheyachlasla. Even if she happened to have taken the nether while the husband was still alive, we're not going to force the Yavam to do the Chalitza, because again, she was negligent. She had no business taking the nether. We're only going to be mevakesh. We're only going to request of him that he actually perform the mitzvah of Chalitza. Says the Gemara, to start, lema masnis in the local Rebbe Meir. Let's say our Mishnah is not like Rebbe Meir. Detanya, because we have an Abraisa, katan v'ktana, lo cholzim v'lo miyavmin, divrei Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir says that a katan and a ktana cannot perform the mitzvah of chalitza, nor can they perform the mitzvah of yibam. So our Mishnah, which spoke about a katan performing yibam with a ktana, that they have to grow up with one another, that obviously is not following the sheet of Rebbe Meir, because Rebbe Meir says a katan and a ktana, no yibam and no chalitza. Says the Gemara, no, afilu tamer Rav Meir, no, even Rav Meir, ki kam ki amar Rav Meir, gdola lakata mektana lagdola. When does Rav Meir say that a katan and a ktana don't perform the mitzvah of Yibam? That's where their counterpart is a gadol or a gdola. The chadmina a biyadi yisura, because one of them is risking performing a biyadi yisura. Why is it a biyadi yisur? So Rashi explains, because by a katan, shema yimsa sris, maybe he's going to be a sris, he's going to be incapable of fathering children. By Ektana, maybe she's going to be an islandess. Maybe she's incapable of carrying children, of giving birth to children. And in a situation where it's incapable, where they're incapable of the union resulting in a child, there is no mitzvah of lahakim shem achiv bi Yisrael. And therefore, instead of an actual mitzvah, it's tam abia shel iser. So that's the only time when Rameyer says that a katan or a ktana do not perform the mitzvah of Yibam, that's only where their counterpart is a gadol or a gdola. So says, aval katan, habal, aktana, but second wide line, but says the Gemara, but a katan, habal, aktana, if both counterparts are a katan and a ktana, that they're equal in this respect, then lo, then Rameyer would say that they can perform the mitzvah of Yibam. Says the Gemara, but our Mishnah still can't be going like Rameyer, vaktani, bal, yavam, because the second case in the Mishnah was where the Yavam, who was a Katan, did Yibam with the Yavam, who was a Gdola, then she stuck with him, she has to raise him, he can't divorce her until he becomes a Gadol. But nevertheless, what we see from that part of the Mishnah is that the Katan is performing Yibam with a Gadol. I, Rav Meir, would say it's a Biyad Isser. Elamai, our Mishnah must not be going like Rav Meir. So Amar Rav Chanina Chaza Bashani, Amar Rav Chanina Chaza Bashani. That no, Rav Meir would say that the Katan shouldn't perform Bia with the Gdola. But what do we say in the Mishnah? Ba, in other words, he just went ahead and did it. Seine Chanami, Rav Meir would have said not to do it, but he went ahead and did it. It says the Gemara is not satisfied. Va tegadlenu kamar. But the Mishnah had said that if the Yavam Katan has Bia with Piyavamo is a gedola, then tagavanu, then she should raise him, and they should continue living together. The chol bia di suruhu. But according to Rav Meir, each act of bia is a bia shalisser, because maybe shamayim sasris. So obviously our Mishnah is not going like Rav Meir says. The Gemara, you're right. Elamachvartam is eastern the lo karavi Meir. The Mishnah is obviously not like Rav Meir. Kari Khan, so a similar topic, but segueing into the following topic, we interpret the pasuk lahakim la'achiv shame. The reason that Rav Meir would say that a katan is not capable of performing the mitzvah of yibam is because the purpose of yibam is lahakim la'achiv shame, to establish a name for his brother, for his deceased brother's family. V'hayla barachiyu, and this katan is incapable of being makim shame la'achiv because he is not a bar bia. Zam rabaya amar kra yivamo yavalea kaldu. But there's another pasuk that says yivamo yavalea, meaning no matter what the situation, we should still have the mitzvah of yibam performed. And Rav Amar Balava Chinami Lamatzis Amris, you also can't say that a katan is ineligible for Yibam because he can't be Mekim Shem La'achiv, because Mi Kamidi Dahashti Yisurilei Lavasa Shaita Sharia. Is there any situation where right now slumming is Asur, but after the fact, with a mere passage of time, it's going to be Mutter? V'yamar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Kol Yavama Sheinani Kori B'Shas Nefila Yivamo Yavo Alea Reik Eishes Ach Sheyesh Lo Banim. That v'asura, in other words, that any yavam, we're already b'shas nefila, we don't say it's permitted, it's never going to be permitted. So by a katan, you can't say that right now it's also for him to do yibam, but later on it's going to be mutter, because the halacha, the way we darshan the psukim over here, is that if it's mutter, it's got to always be mutter. Says the Gemara, v'ema chinami, says the Gemara, okay, well maybe taka, that any yavam where there is no ability by shas nefila to say yavama yavala, it's always going to be aser. Says the Gemara, no, we can't say that, because amar kra ki yeshvu achim yachtav afilu ben yom echad, because the pasuk also says ki yeshvu achim yachtav, that so long as even if the surviving brother of the deceased is a baby, even if he's a one-day-old baby, what happens is that you wait until he becomes old enough and then he does Yibam. When the woman felt him for Yibam, he was only one day old and therefore he was incapable of performing the mitzvah of Yibam. It doesn't matter. Back then he was incapable of performing the mitzvah of Yibam. However, now, later on, he is going to be able to perform the mitzvah of Yibam. In other words, it's not that we require that he be eligible for Hakamas Shame now. It's that so long as in the future he's going to be eligible for Hakamas Shame, we are going to allow him to perform the mitzvah of Yibam when he becomes a gadol. Okay, it's at the two dots, says the Gemara Vayter. Yavama Shamar B'tok Shloshim Yom. So this is the case where the Yavama claims that they never consummated the Yibam, and therefore, rather than being divorced through a get, she actually requires Chalitza to terminate the Zika. So says the Gemara as follows: Mantana da Tolson Yomin Mukaminish Enafshei. Who's the Mandarmer who says that until 30 days, the guy is believed that he didn't have bia with her? After 30 days, however, the guy is not believed because he can't control himself for more than a period of 30 days. So Rav Yochanan, Rav Meir, it's Rav Meir. Detanya, Tanas Pesulam, Kol Shloshim Yom, Div Rav Meir. Rav Meir says that until 30 days, a woman could still come with a Tanas Pesulam. She could still say that even though we got married, we never consummated the marriage, we never had even one act of bia. However, Rav Yossi argues with Rav Meir and says, Nisra Li Alter, excuse me, if they had yichud, then you are not believed even a day later to say that they didn't have bia. Lonis Torah, however, if we see that they never had yichud, then aflachar kamashanim, then they could be, quote, married for like 10 years, but if they were never miyachid with one another, then she's always believed to say that they never had bia. So says the Gemara, Rabba Amar afilu tamer Rav Yossi. Our Mishnah is not necessarily going like Rav Meir. It could even be going like Rav Yossi. Ad kan lakom Rav Yossi asam. When does Rav Yossi say that as soon as they had yichud, we assume that they also had bia? Ela barusoso, that's by his arusa de gispe, because he feels very comfortable with her. Aval eshes achiv mivzas bazes minei. But by his brother's wife, which is who the woman is, if he's performing yibam, he is much more apprehensive. He's not nearly as comfortable with her, and therefore we don't assume that he's going to jump at the first opportunity of yichud and avbia with her. And therefore, until 30 days, we are going to until 30 days. We are going to believe her that he never had bia with her, even after the alleged yibum. Says the Gemara, what we had said was in the Mishnah was that if she claims that he never consummated the yibum, then we're going to force him to do a chalitza. Why don't we force him to do a yibum? Why are we forcing him to do chalitza? Let's force him to consummate the yibum. Why are we defaulting right away to chalitza? Tosfos explains that the Gemara's kasha is only going according to the Minhag Kadmon, where we always preferred yibum over chalitza. However, later on in history, we know that people were engaging in yibum for ulterior motives, not because they wanted to perform the mitzvah, but because they were attracted to the yavama or whatever. They wanted the deceased's money. So once ulterior motives started creeping in, then at that point in history, they started performing the mitzvah of chalitza as a preference, as the preferred mode, as opposed to yibum. But back in the day, when they used to prefer yibum, the Gemara's question is, why are we forcing him to do chalitza? Let's force him to do the yibum. Samarav, b'shigita yotza mitachas yada. We can't force him to do yibum because, as I explained when we learned the Mishnah, the whole case is, he is coming with a get, saying, ah, I did yibum, here's your get, you're now divorced. She's coming with a taina saying, the get isn't good enough. The get doesn't affect a divorce because we were never married. You never consummated the yibum. So the only way to get rid of the zika is not by a get because we were never married. I require a chalitza. Says the Gemara, really? Is there get mitachas yada? We're talking with a case where he presented her with a get. Meisfe. If the Yavama claims within 30 days that he never had bia with me, whether he admits that he never had bia or even if he insists that he did have bia, we're going to force him to do chalitza. After a period of 30 days, we're only going to be mavakesh that he performed the chalitza. We're not going to force because he claims that he had bia with her, and since more than 30 days elapsed, we assume that he's not able to control himself, and therefore we assume he, in fact, did have bia with her. However, he omeres nivalti. Let's say she claims after 30 days that he had bia with me, v'hu omer lo ba'alti, but he insists even after 30 days he didn't have bia, hareyu yotze beget. So then she is yotze beget, meaning she is believed to say that she had bia, and therefore the yibum was consummated. How do you end a relationship where yibum was consummated? They're married, and therefore the way to end the relationship is with a get. However, hu amar ba'alti, if he's the one who says that he had bia, v'hi omeres lo nevalti, and she says, no, I didn't have bia, even if he then later recants and says, he retracts and says, no, I never had bia with her, she requires a get and chalitza. She requires a get because he claimed initially that he had bia with her, and therefore they were really married, and therefore the way to terminate this marriage is with a get. She requires a chalitza, even though we believe him that he had bia, because shavya nafsha chaticha di isura. She claimed that they never had bia. She claimed that the zika was still intact. Therefore, according to her taina, the only way to terminate the zika is with a chalitza. Therefore, she's going to require get and chalitza. But the kasha for our purposes is, you told me in the Mishnah, the way we interpret the Mishnah was that the case is that he already presented her with a get. But if he already presented her with a get, in this case where he claims that he had bia, she claims I never had bia, then he said, you're right, I never had bia with you. Why do we say you require a get and chalitza? I thought the case in the Mishnah was that when we're introduced to this situation, he had already provided her with a get. He had already given her a get. So says the Gemara, you're right. Amar avami tzricha chalitza im gita. You're right. What it means is, not that she requires a get anew, because he had already given her a get. The point is that she also requires chalitza along with a get, because we believe her when she says that they never had bia, and therefore he shavya nafsha chaticha di sura. She's the one who claims that she needs the chalitza. Therefore, we're going to require her to get the chalitza in order to terminate the zika, which she claims still exists. Says the Gemara, Ravashi Amar Hasam get Lizikoso, Hacha get Libiyaso. No, over there, the case in the Mishnah was not that he gave her a get in order to terminate the marriage, it's that he gave her a get to terminate the Zika. But over here now, he has to give her also a get to terminate the marriage, because initially he claimed that he had bia with her, and we also know that a person is not believed to control himself, to control his Yetzara for 30 days, and therefore she's going to require a bona fide get that is capable of terminating an actual marriage. Okay, next case in the Gemara. Hanushnei Amodim, there were these two people who admitted, what did they admit? That they admitted that they never had bia even after 30 days. Also Lukame de Rava, that they came before Rava. Amarlu Rava, Chalutzula v'shori l'tigra. Do me a favor, do chalitza and end this quarrel. Meaning that a chalitza alone is enough to terminate the relationship, because even though it was after 30 days, they both admitted that there was no bia. Therefore, there's no basis for requiring a get, because they all admitted that the marriage was never consummated. Therefore, just do a chalitza, he said, and you're going to be done with it. Amar le Rav Shravi, le Rav Avatanya Tzricha get v'chalitza. Didn't we learn that after 30 days you require a get and a chalitza? So Amar le Itanya Tanya, he said, okay, so if you learn that, then you learn that. Okay, what am I supposed to tell you? So boy mine home bere the Rav Nachman me Rav Nachman. Sarasa mahu, what about her Sarah? In other words, let's say there was a co-wife. Now, the guy claims that he already performed Yibam, he already had Bia with the Yavama. So is the co-wife now free to marry whoever she wants? Now, the woman, remember, the Yavama claims that they never had Bia, and therefore there was never a Yibam or a Chalitza done yet. So if there was never a Yibam or a Chalitza done yet, the co-wife would not be permitted to marry whoever she wants. But the Gemara asks, what about her Tzara? No, the Tzara could go marry whoever she wants. Because we're going to believe the Yavama and require a chalitza because of the rationale of he shavya nafsha chaticha the Yisura, we're also supposed to aser the Tzara? We're not going to aser the Tzara, because by the Tzara we follow the normal way of the world, and the normal way of the world is that anybody who performs the mitzvah of Yibam within 30 days, we assume that he had bia. Therefore, we're going to assume that the Tzara is able to marry whomever she wants. The Yavama requires chalitza only because she, according to her own taina, still requires chalitza in order to take care of the Zika. Okay, says the Gemara, Navaitar at the two dots. Next topic that we covered in the Mishnah, Nadar HaSana. We're talking about the woman now who is Nodar Hana from the Yavam. Tanan Hasam, we learn that three women, we basically terminate their marriage, but nevertheless, they do get to collect their ksuba because it's considered no fault. It's considered that the woman is not at fault for terminating the marriage. Homeres Tmeyani, a woman who says Tmeyani, what does that mean? It means that she's married to a Kohen, and she claims that Nensa, she claims that she was Rachmana Litzlan raped, and therefore, if the woman was raped, if she was married to a Yisrael, not a problem. If she's married to a Kohen, then she's Asura to be with him, even though someone was Ma'anes her. But the reason that she gets her ksuba is because she could say, listen, it's not on account of anything that I did, it's on account that you're a Kohen. So I shouldn't lose my ksuba on account that you're a Kohen. So that's one type of woman where we terminate the marriage, but she gets her ksuba. Shemayim Beini Levenecha, if she says, Hashemayim Beini Levenecha, meaning everybody knows that we never had Bia, and you're never going to have Bia with me, and therefore it's not tenable that I remain in this relationship, and therefore we're gonna dissolve the marriage, but she does get to collect her ksuba. Or Netula Nimine Yehudim, or if she says that I took a neder that I'm never going to have Bia with anybody. Why? Because if she takes such a neder, obviously we see that Tashmish is very difficult for her. If Tashmish is very difficult for her, that's considered to be an ones. She's an anusa, she's an anus, and therefore, because she's an anus, it's not her fault, and therefore we're going to let her collect her ksuba. Chazru Lomar, then they retracted this position, and they said, Shalote Isha Nasenes Eina Ba'akar Makakela Sabala, that all of these, like, this is basically like a blueprint, this is basically a plan for a woman to want to act immorally, and she has her eyes set on some other guy, And so she figures out she could game the system. The way that she could get out of the marriage and still collect her ksuba is by coming with one of these tainas. So it's not good to provide like the guidebook for how the immoral woman wants to go be with another man. So Ella, Homeris Tameyani Lacha Tavi Raya Lidvarea. That if she says Tameyani Lacha that she wants to claim that she was Nensa and therefore she's Asura. Her husband is a Kohen, she has to bring a Raya. Hashemayim beni levenecha yasu derech bakosha. If she says that I need to dissolve the marriage because everybody knows that you're not going to have via with me ever, we're only mevakesh from him that he divorce her and give her the ksuba and act in a derech hayasher, but we're not going to force him. And etulan imen ayehudim, if she says, I'm sorry, we can't be in this marriage because I took a neder that I'm going to aser myself for tashmish with all Jews, so yafar chelko, he should be mefer his chelek of that neder, so say, oh, I'm mefer the chelek of the neder that you're not going to have tashmish with anybody, so now you could have tashmish with me, umisham shaso, and he should have tashmish with her. And she should remain usher to the rest of the Jewish people. In other words, he can only be mefer his chelek, but legabe everybody else, she remains usher, and therefore, if he later divorces her, or if he later dies, she is not going to be mutter to have tashmish with any other man. I assume that the Gemara must assume that she was actually bluffing. It can't be that actually she took a nether because it was too painful for Daftashmish, because I can't imagine the Gemara would say that he should be made for his chelek and nevertheless have Tashmish with her. So it must be that we're calling her bluff over here. So Yiboilu, Netulan Imena Yehudim, Liyavam Mahu. Okay, good. So we said Netulan Imena Yehudim. The husband can be made for his chelek and therefore she's then mutter to have Tashmish with him. What if the husband dies and she falls to the Yavam for Yibam? Is she able to have bia with the yavam or not? So mi maskadaita demeis bala v'nafla kame yavam. Alo, does she have in mind, does she assume, does she understand when she takes this neder that she may fall for yibam or not? If she has in mind that she may fall for yibam, yet she nevertheless says netulan imene yehudim, then she had it in mind and therefore she's going to be usher to have bia with the yavam. If she never would have comprehended, she never would have contemplated, rather, that the Yibam situation would arise, then she's not going to be usher from being with the Yavam. So Rav Amar Yavam ain't a Kabal. Rav says that the Yavam is not like a Baal, and therefore the Neder was never Chal on the Yavam. Shmuel Amar Yavam Areyu Kabal. And Shmuel says that the Yavam is like the Baal, meaning that she's going to be usher to the Yavam, because unlike the Baal, who could be made for her Neder, made for the chelik of the nether that was shaykh to him, the yavam cannot be made for the chelik of the nether that was shaykh to him until it's way too late to be made for the nether anyway. And therefore, since she had him in mind when she made the nether, it's going to be usher to be with the yavam. So I'm Rabbiya Kavase the Rav Mistabra. It's Mistabra like Rav. Titnan, in other words, that yavam ain't a kabal because the nether was not chal on him. Because what did we say in the Mishnah? Hanoderas anami yavama b'chaye baila. If she takes a neder, asering all hanah from the yavam while the husband is still alive, kofenos hashayach lotzla, we force him to do chalitza because she never had in mind to aser this type of hanah. Vimisa demaska daite, but if she does have in mind on the yavam even when the husband's alive, mevakshimi vayle. So why are we going to force the yavam to do chalitza? We should only mean mevakesh to do chalitza because what we had said in the Mishnah was when she takes a neder that she had no business taking, then she was negligent for taking the neder. We're not going to force the guy to do chalitza. We're only going to be mevakesh that the guy do chalitza. Elama, you must be that she never even had in mind in the yavam when she was taking the neder and the husband was alive. Says the Gemara, "Chavimayaskina bisha sheish labanim." Nah, by a woman who has children, to kula hayla muska adaite, she is never going to have in mind that, oh, maybe my husband's going to die, and maybe my children are going to predecease my husband, so that when my husband dies, he's not going to have any offspring, and therefore I'm going to fall to the yavam for the mitzvah. Nobody thinks like that. Aval ein labanim mai. The kasha is, what if she doesn't have any sons? So, mevakshin adis ein labanim mai, mevakshin. So, if she doesn't have any sons, then she should have had in mind on the yavam, and therefore she was negligent for taking the nether, and therefore we're only mavakesh that he perform chalitza, but we're not going to force him to perform chalitza. Says the Gemara, Adatani in Miskavna Lakach, Afilu B'chayi Baila Mavakshim Imenu Shiach Lesla. However, if the case is that if the, while the husband was alive, if she was niskaven to asa herself on the yavam, even in that case, we're only going to be mevakesh that he performed the chalitza, and we're not going to force him to perform the chalitza. Liflag v'lisnei b'didei. Why don't we argue in similar cases? In other words, v'medzvam amurim b'sheyesh labanim. When do we say that kofin him to be choletz her to do chalitza? That's only when she has kids, because then she never had in mind that it should go on him. Aval ein labanim. However, if she doesn't have kids, then mevakshin, then we should be mevakesh. In other words, what the Gemara is asking is, in the Mishnah, when we set up the distinction, we said the distinction hinges on whether she made the neder b'chaye bala or shelo b'chaye bala. Now that we understand that if, even when the husband was alive, if they didn't have any children, she should have had in mind on the yavam, why are we distinguishing between whether the husband's alive or the husband's dead? We should have distinguished between whether she had children or not. If she didn't have children, then we are only mevakesh, because she should have had in mind that it goes on the yavam. If she did have children, then we're going to be kofin, because she never had in mind that it would go on the yavam. So, elo shmamina, lo shna yesh labanim, lo shna ein labanim, kofin oso karav shmamina. So, elamai, the maskana is that when the husband is alive, whether she has kids or not, she never has in mind that the nether should go on the yavam. Therefore, she's not considered negligent in having made the nether, and therefore we're going to be kofin oso lachlos, but we're going to force him to do chalitza. The only time we're not going to force him to do chalitza is when she was negligent. When's it considered that she was negligent in making the nether? That's only after the death of the husband, because the Yibam situation was already live, it was already in front of her. She should have known not to make the nether. Okay, Hadron Alech Veshamai, so that concludes the 13th Perek of the Masechta. Now we're on to Perek Yudalid. And again, this very long Mishnah, which is going to take us to the bottom of the Yamud, really just rehashing cases that we already saw, earlier, where you have four people, two of them are married to two others, and some of these relationships are deraisa relationships, some of them are derabbanan relationships. We have to see who dies and what the surviving person is able to or can do with the other, with a surviving woman. And then we're going to go through permutations of sometimes the women are related, sometimes the women are not related. So we'll see all this. So says the Mishnah, Cheresh Shenasa Pikachas. If you have a Cheresh, a deaf mute who marries a Pikachas, a healthy woman, a Pikach Shenasa Chareshes, and a healthy man who marries a Chareshes. So the Mishnah is going to start off with some of the basics. Imratza Lahotzi Yotzi. If he wants to divorce his wife, he could divorce his wife. Imratza Lakayim, Lakayim. And if he wants to be Makayim the marriage, they could stay married. Kishem Shu Konez Baramiza. Aye, how can a Cheresh divorce his wife? I thought you have to have das in order to divorce your wife. And according to the Gemara, Cheresh is a lav bar das. In other words, the Rashi explains, this is like ma'atam. Why is it that a cheresh could divorce his wife? Because the whole marriage is only a derabanan. Because the whole way he got married was only beramiza. He wasn't actually saying it. He didn't say areat mekudeshes li, because he's not capable of saying that. So therefore, the same way that he got married to her and the marriage is chal mederabanan, he could divorce her beramiza, and the divorce is going to terminate that derabanan marriage. Now, pikeach shenasa pikachas vinis charsha. Let's say a healthy man marries a healthy woman, and then she becomes a chareshes. Imratza yotzi. If he wants to divorce her, he could divorce her. Why? Because even though she's now considered a lav bar das, a woman does not require das in order to accept a get. Vimratza yakayim. And if he wants to, he could continue being married. Nishtatis. However, if she becomes a shota, which is different than a chareshes. A chareshes is a deaf mute. If she goes insane, then lo yotzi, then he cannot divorce her. I thought we just said that a woman doesn't require a das in order to receive a get. The Gemara is going to say, you're right, but there's a takana derabanan that we're not going to allow the divorce to be chal on such a woman, because we're afraid that shema yinagban minag hefker, that maybe people are going to act inappropriately towards her. If he was healthy when he got married, then he becomes either a deaf mute or he goes insane. He can never divorce her because the Kedushin was Minat Torah. He's now insane and is incapable of having Das, and he therefore can only get divorced on a Drabana level, but his Drabana divorce cannot dissolve a Daraisa marriage. I'm Rav Yochanan Menuri. Why can a woman who becomes a deaf mute get divorced? But a man who becomes a deaf mute cannot divorce his wife. Some are low. They said, but here's the fundamental principle. It's because the man and the woman are not even, are not on even standing in this regard. A woman can get divorced whether she has ratzon to get divorced or not. However, a man requires das in order to divorce his wife. Heyid, Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada, ala charesha she'asiya avia. Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada was meyid on a charesha's whose father married her off, meaning that the marriage was minat Torah, the kedusha was minat Torah, because her father gave her away in kedushin. She yotza beget, that she could get divorced. In other words, even after she leaves the rishus of the father, she could still get divorced. And Amar lo, afzuka yotzeba. So also, this woman is like that. In other words, even though the marriage was midaraisa, and now she's a chareshes, and now she doesn't have das, she could still get divorced. Why? Because we don't require the woman's das in order to get her divorce. Does not comport with our modern sensibilities, but that is the dina shel Gemara. Now the Mishnah starts going wild on all of these cases that we have been seeing over the past couple of days. Beis Ach and Charashin. You have these two brothers who are both deaf mute. Nisu and Beis Ach is Charashas, who are married to two other deaf mutes. Olishtei Achos Pichos, or to two women who are healthy. Olishtei Achios Echas Charashas Vechas Pikachas, or to two women. One of them is a Charashas, one of them is a Pikachas. The bottom line is, all of these marriages are only Drabanan, because at least one of the parties doesn't have Das. At least one of the parties is a deaf mute. Oh, Beis Achios Charashas, or the flip side, you have two sisters who are Charashas. Nisu Olishtei Ach and Pikin, two healthy people. Or they're both deaf mute. Again, the marriages are all derabanan. They are butter from chalitza and yibam, because even though the erva of achos isha or eshes achiv is only going to be midrabanan, also the zika is only midrabanan, because the whole marriage is only midrabanan, and therefore you're not going to require yibam or chalitza. V'mayin achrios, however, let's say the wives were not sisters, let's say the wives were not related, then yichnosu, then they should perform the mitzvah of yibam, because even though the marriage was only derabanan and the zika is only derabanan, there was no erva to prevent the yibum from taking place. Therefore, let them do yibum. However, they can't do chalitza, because remember, in order to do chalitza, you have to have a kriyas parsha, and these people are deaf mute, they can't read the parsha. And after they do yibum, if they want to get divorced, they could get divorced, because again, the whole yibum is only midrabanan, and therefore they can get divorced on a drabanan level as well. Shnei achim, two brothers, echas cheresh vechas pikeach. One is a cheresh, one's a deaf mute, one's a pikeach. Nesuin l'shnei achios pikchos, and they're married to two sisters who are both healthy. Meis cheresh bala pikachas. Now the cheresh dies. What should the healthy brother do? So misham achos isha. So the woman who falls to him in yibum goes free without yibum or chalitza, because she is his wife's sister. Let's say the pikeach dies. Mayasa cheresh bal pikachas. What should the cheresh who's married to the deceased wife's sister do? So motzi ishta beget. He has to divorce his wife with a get. Ve'eshes achiv asur l'yolam. And the eshes achiv is going to be usher to him forever. Why? Because he can't do chalitza and he can't do yibam because of the isser of achos isha, because he was married to her sister and he has to divorce his wife, because the zika that occurs, the zika that arises when his brother dies, is a daraisa zika, and therefore it knocks out his nisuin, which is only midrabanan. Shtei achin pichin, you have two brothers who are both healthy. Nisuin l'shtei achios. Achas chareshes v'achas pikachas. One is healthy, one is not. Meis pikeach bal chareshes. If the pikeach who's married to the chareshes dies, mayase pikeach bal pikachas. Seteitze mishem achos isha. Again, simple case. The yevama is the sister of his wife, therefore she goes out without any yibam or chalitza. Meis pikeach bal pikachas.
If the Bikeach, who's married to the Bikachas, dies, Ma Yasa Bikeach Bal Charashes, what should the Bikeach who was married to the Charashes do? Motzi Asishto Beget, Ves Eshes Achim Bechalitza. So he has to divorce his wife with a get, and he has to do Chalitza on his, on his brother's wife. Why does he have to do Chalitza on the brother's wife? She's the sister of his wife. His marriage was only midrabanan, so you have to do chalitza because there was a zika, and you have to terminate that zika. Sheachin echas cheresh vechas pikach. You have two brothers, one of them's a cheresh, one of them's a pikach. Nesuin l'sheachios echas chareshes vechas pikachas. Meis cheresh bal chareshes. The cheresh who is married to the chareshes dies. Ma yase pikach bal pikachas. Teitzim mishamachos isha. Easy. She is his wife's sister, therefore she goes out without anything. Meis pikach bal pikachas. If the pikach dies, however, ma yase cheresh bal chareshes. Motzi es ishto beget veishes achav asur liyolam. Same cases we already had. Sheachin echas cheresh vechas pikach. Now they're married to two women who are not sisters. If the cheresh dies, what should the pikeach do? It's a regular case of yibam. What should the cheresh do? Kones, he has to perform yibam vein motzli yolam, and he can never divorce her because there was a zika, which is a daraisa, and his get, which is drabanan, can never terminate the zika, which is midaraisa. Shei achim pichin nesuin lebeis nachrios. If you have two achim pichin who are married, two women who are not related, echas pikachas vechas kareshes. Maybe, you know what? Forget it. I'm not going to run through the rest of the Mishnah. We're going to have to stop in this awkward place. We'll pick up with the remaining cases of the Mishnah and finish that up tomorrow and then cover the ensuing Gemara. Everybody have a great day.